first, though, shall we dip our toe into the world of technology? I mean, I don't know if we're okay to mention Christmas now, Fevzy. Is it now the time? The thing is, cost of living crisis, you've got to spread the cost, haven't you? So you've got to start thinking about what you might be buying for Christmas. And, you know, your slot becomes even more important at that time, you know, because you are providing us with some much needed inspiration.
Oh, bless you. You know, funny enough, in the world of tech journalism, Christmas starts around March.
You start
getting called to the Christmas events for the products that are going to, you know, be available in the run-up to Christmas.
So right. You know,
so it's around March, April. So it's kind of this never-ending death spiral.
Isn't it?
It's like the Queen had two birthdays a year, you know, you're never far away from the next. It's like that. So
yeah, well,
I mean, I quite like Christmas, though, I must admit.
Maybe not if it's spread out over 9 months of the year. That's possibly taking it slightly too far. We'll come on to your gadget of the week shortly, because that may well provide some inspiration. I don't know. But first of all, let's talk about what else is going on. And I saw this story yesterday, actually, about Amazon and the possibility of compensation for its customers. So talk me through this one.
Yeah, so this is effectively a class action. We never used to have these, but this is an opt-out lawsuit that's being brought by a consumer rights campaigner, Julie Hunter. It's going to be filed by the end of the month. And if successful, and that's quite a big if, because Amazon's got some, you know, quite a bit of money for lawyers. UK users of Amazon, which is almost all of us, could share in a £900 million compensation payout. Mm. The basis of the claim is that they are alleging that Amazon is indulging in anti-competitive practices. Now, you know, when you go onto Amazon UK or any of the Amazon sites, you can buy products directly from Amazon.
Yeah.
You can also buy it through what's called Amazon's marketplace, which is independent resellers selling the same products or many of the same products. So when you click on an item, you may see it offered by Amazon, and then lower down, you may see it offered by third-party resellers. And the assertion is that even when those independent resellers are selling exactly the same product, either for less money or on somehow better terms, that they are not elevated to the top. So what Amazon does is there's a buy now button, or there's an add to basket button. If you do buy now, it will automatically buy the one at the top of the list, and the list is not necessarily in price order, it's in the order that Amazon decides. So if it wants to give preference to its own sale of the product, or push down another reseller, it can. So that's what it's all about, because it's basically saying that people are paying over the odds for the same product in some cases, hence the £900 million compensation claim, but by virtue of the fact that you know, they're alleging that Amazon is fixing the results and only allowing, you know, favoured product sellers into the buy now button.
That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, obviously it's the subject of legal proceedings, so it's difficult to get into the ins and outs of it. But then why would a whole load of other shoppers benefit from any potential compensation? So presumably they would have had to have gone through this process. If Amazon were found guilty of this, these shoppers who were getting the compensation would have to have clicked on that button or whatever, not got necessarily the best deal. I don't know how it would work.
Yeah, so it's an opt-out. Yeah, I think it's sort of seen as a general harm. I'm not sure that an individual shopper would need to show that they made a specific purchase. It would be if the principle is established, and then they'll work out, you know, in aggregate how much was lost by consumers by this practice if they prevail, and then they'll divide it amongst all the consumers, and it's an opt-out case. So as long as you've used, you know, and purchased you know, from Amazon UK with it between certain dates, and most of us will have, then you're eligible, unless you opt out, unless you say under no circumstances do I want to be compensated, and you write to their law firm and you can opt out. So it's kind of interesting, because these actions were more typically American, and now they're coming here. But I think, you know, these algorithms, you know, like when you go onto YouTube and it chooses which videos it offers you and so forth, these algorithms are very, very powerful. in a shopping context, that you know, they can cost you a lot of money. And I often spend time, I will never hit the buy now button myself because it gives control to their algorithm. I would always put it in the basket and then search to see what the various resellers are. Because sometimes it will put a seller at the top, which is maybe the same price or a penny cheaper than another seller. But if you look at the reputations of the sellers, they can be wholly different.
Yeah.
Or their returns policies can be different. I'll give you one tip, by the way, before we move on.
Mm.
If you buy a product on Amazon and it is sold by Amazon, therefore fulfilled by Amazon, that means you get your 30-day money-back rights, and it means you deal with Amazon's own customer services, which is pretty good, pretty, you know, reasonably no questions asked. If you buy from a third-party reseller and the third-party reseller fulfills it, in other words, they send it out rather than Amazon sending it out on behalf, then you are subject to that third-party reseller's returns policy, which can be less generous. You have to check. But there's one trick. If you buy from a third-party reseller where it says sold by XYZ company, but then it says fulfilled by Amazon, i.e.
Yes.
Amazon, so they've put their stock into Amazon's warehouse and Amazon's, send it out using their method, then even though it's sold to you by a third party, because Amazon have fulfilled it, it's their customer service, so you still get the 30-day money-back guarantee.
So you get the best of both worlds that way. You might get a cheaper price, but you've got the customer service to bolster it up as well.
Exactly right. And I would tend to go down that route. I would try. I mean, some third-party resellers are excellent. Okay, I don't want to disparage them. But generally speaking, I would feel more reassured if the product is either sold by Amazon or fulfilled by Amazon.
Yeah.
So that's something to watch for.
I noted, taken good advice. We're delving into the world of technology with Fevzi Turkout from Gadget Detective. Before we talk about your gadget of the week, I must just check that you are full up on your cake quota, because regular listeners will know that inexplicably at this time, every Saturday, you like to feed your face with lots of cake. So how many have we got on the go at the moment?
I don't see in what way that's inexplicable. I mean, it's cake, right?
Well, it is, yes, but you never seem to eat. The cake never seems to follow anything. That's the thing. We get to Saturday lunchtime and you'd expect you to be having a sandwich or maybe a salad or something followed by the cake, but it's just the cake, seemingly.
You know, there is the old tradition of breakfast cake.
Right.
Which I made up.
Right.
But, so the situation is I have one chocolate cake in stock.
Yeah.
But between one and two today, I will have delivered a further four cakes. There will be two carrot cakes. There will be two carrot cakes. There will be a Colombian coffee cake and a further chocolate cake to deplete this. Now, that is not pure gluttony, because one of the carrot cakes is for somebody's birthday.
Right. Yes. I mean, that only accounts for one cake, whereas what we're saying is you've got another four, is that, on the go? So you've got chocolate cake already and you're having three more delivered for you.
Yes, but I won't have any more delivered for a week.
Right.
Four cakes in a week, that's probably
four
okay.
cakes. A week and four cakes. You are my kind of guy.
Four candles, isn't it?
Anyway, before enough cake chat, let's talk about gadget of the week. And this week you're focusing on a smartphone.
Yes, I shall have my cake and eat it.
Yes.
Right, so this is a new smartphone from Google. And it's very interesting in a number of ways. So it's called the Google Pixel 7 smartphone, not to be confused with the Google Pixel 7 Pro smartphone, both launched at the same time just now. We'll look at the Pro model another day. But this is quite interesting. So Google is the company that makes the Android operating system, which is on just about every smartphone that isn't an iPhone.
Mm.
So it, you know, it's using, you know, Samsung's phones and all, or Sony phones and all the other phones that aren't iPhones use this. But every year, Google produce their own smartphones, the Pixel range. So this is the Pixel 7. And the reason that they do that, and what these phones represent, is the pinnacle of what can be done with an Android smartphone. So it's kind of leading the way. This is it's a phone that's priced at £599, which, although is by no means cheap, is actually probably the best value available for any smartphone in the mid-range in the UK.
Yeah, well, certainly compared to an iPhone, that is significantly cheaper, isn't it?
Well, you know what's interesting, and we'll come to the phone, but let me just tell you a little bit about pricing. So the dollar price for this is £599, and the pound price is £599. Now, people often complain about that, and they say, oh, but the pound's worth more than the dollar. Well, the thing is, the American prices don't include sales tax, and by the time you add 20% sales, you know, to make them comparable or take RVAT off it, actually it becomes very good.
Okay.
And with the recent plummeting of the pound against the dollar, if you look at what Apple's done, they're for the products that they've updated or the categories they've updated, the pound price in numbers is higher than the dollar price. They've actually slapped on. So where Apple, for example, recently launched new iPads, something was say $599 and £599, it's gone up about 13% on that to take advantage of the currency. Google at the moment haven't done that. So these actually become even more of a bargain because they haven't done what Apple has done, which is, you know, preserve their margin by passing on the drop in the pound. And actually, Apple have done something that they never did before that I'm aware of. They've actually put up prices for products that they haven't changed. So the entry-level iPad used to be £329, hasn't been changed at all. 3 days ago it was £329, today it's £369.
Right, okay. That's interesting,
so,
isn't it?
So, yeah, but and that will come. But actually, where the prices haven't been hiked yet, you know, like with these Google phones, and I think if you're after one, it's a good idea to jump on it sooner rather than later.
So talk me through what makes this so special then, in Android terms, I suppose.
Well, I'll tell you, just in total smartphone terms, I think these give the iPhones a good run for their money. I'll tell you about the hardware, but then I will tell you what I think is really special about these phones. So hardware-wise, 6.3-inch OLED screen. An OLED screen is a technology. So 6.3-inch, quite a big screen, first of all. OLED means that the blacks are blacker and the whites are whiter. So when you're watching video on it, you can't discern the difference between the black in the picture and the black on the frame. It becomes completely... So what's called the dynamic range, the difference between the whitest, the brightest and the darkest is wide. So you know, like you see those films in you know, where I don't know, one of these escape movies where they're digging a tunnel or something and you can hear the voices but you can't see a thing, because the screen isn't up to it. But here you can see all the details, so that's that bit. 8 gigabytes of RAM, a choice of 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage. The cameras are updated. They're very special. 50 megapixel camera on the rear, which is the main wide camera. Then you've got a 12 megapixel ultra wide camera on the rear, also very good. The front facing camera, the selfie camera, is 10.8 megapixels, very good. It's got Google's new processor. Google have produced their own processor. It's called the Tensor G2 processor. And I think it's made in conjunction with Samsung. But it's a very advanced processor, and what it's built for is artificial intelligence, and there's about a 60% improvement on last year's chip in that regard. I'll come back to that because the AI features are probably the key features of this phone, in my opinion. Battery life, they say it can be up to 72 hours in extreme battery saver mode.
Wow.
What I found is a good 24 hours. If I throw everything I've got at it, I'm a heavy user, I use all the features, I've still got battery at the end of the day. And that's what really matters to me.
That's pretty good though, isn't it? That is still pretty good.
It is good, and because it's not one of the biggest big phones as well. So in addition to that, it's got both face unlock and fingerprint unlock as well, which is very good. Always on display, fast wireless charging, IP68, which is dust and water resistance rating, choice of three colours. I think one of them's called lemongrass and the other ones are black and white by other names. I think the black one's called obsidian or something like that. You know, it's just... I suppose people don't want to say the word black or white anymore. They would just use fancy names for it. Now, that's all good. So hardware-wise, good value for money, bargain compared to similar iPhones. However, where it gets really interesting and what I see happening is Google increasingly pulling away from Apple in terms of AI-based smart features. And I would argue that this, along with the 7 Pro, are the smartest smartphones available today. They are.
But what
really
do you mean when you say these AI-based features?
Right.
What do you mean by that?
They're very things that give you practical benefits. So all smartphones do transcription. So you speak into the microphone and up pop the words on the screen. And I always, you know, because I'd been using iPhones for a long time, I always thought mine was fine. And, you know, I'd transcribe something, I'd try to have good diction, you know, give it the best chance. But then I'd have to go back in and edit it. And if I didn't, I've sent numerous, unchecked voice text messages that were dictated by voice with, you know, amusing errors in them. With the Google one, this iteration, the transcription is amazing. It's virtually error-free.
Right.
And I don't have to take particular care of my diction either. You know, I don't have to make sure my glottal stops are where they should be, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's quite amazing. And it's because, you know, Google has access to a lot of big data, and AI systems, artificial intelligence systems, are trained on data. So the more voices that the algorithm hears, the better it gets.
Mm.
It, you know, in the beginning of voice recognition, you, on a computer, you used to have to read. They'd provide you with paragraphs and passages that you'd have to read, and then it would sort of learn how to read it,
yeah,
and eventually, you know,
yeah,
manage something. It's not like that now. You know, these Google's one, I think, is the best transcription I've heard. And it will also transcribe not just from what you dictate into the microphone, but from a recording. So let's say you've gone out, you've recorded an interview, and you want it transcribed.
That's
it
clever,
will do
isn't
it for you.
That is clever.
Or the audio, the speech of a film or video, you can, you know, or a speech. Let's say you go onto YouTube and you look at, you know, I don't know, a TED Talk or something like that, and you can get that transcribed by this.
Okay.
Real-time translation, great. And then when making phone calls, I love this. It's got a hold for me function. So, you know, when you get put on hold and there's music, it will hold for you, and then it will alert you when a human being answers.
Oh, brilliant. So basically, yep, no more hanging on to some screeching hold music, yep, on speakerphone. So there's a way
direct,
of navigating this.
Let me just run through this. Direct IVR, which means that, you know, when press 2 through this, press 3 for that,
yeah,
it will,
yeah,
navigate,
yeah,
you through, get you through that quicker.
Okay.
Photo unblur. If you've got a blurred photo, it will unblur it. Magic eraser, you can take out items. Someone's photobombed you in the background of a photo, you can remove them.
Amazing.
Cinematic blur for photos.
Wow. I mean, that is, I mean, to someone, a technophobe like me, I'm really only looking for a smartphone that is relatively quick and speedy and that has an ace camera on it. And it sounds as though certainly the camera features are pretty good on this one as well.
Yeah, yeah, no, the cameras are up there with the best. I think, you know, arguably only the Pro model has better cameras. It's got,
okay,
an additional camera. But the, you know, but these AI things, they're not esoteric. They make real world differences. That dictation on its own is worth the price of entry.
I can tell you're impressed by that. I can tell. Okay, so how many stars are you giving this?
I've given it 4.5 stars out of 5 on the basis that nothing ever gets 5 from me.
Yes, so, and it can always be improved. And here's the sharp intake of breath bit. Remind us how much of it is again.
So this price is £599,
yep,
which is, whilst not cheap, is actually cheap compared to its competition. And you can find it for a little bit less if you shop around.
Okay, good stuff. Fevzi, thank you. As ever, that's Fevzi Turkout from Gadget Detective.